All right, welcome everybody on a Tuesday from home this week. Trash Talk with Tony Nebraska is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. And we all hope that you had a very happy and safe Memorial Day. Obviously, that is the reason why we are recording this on Tuesday with only a few people in the Google Meet call. But nonetheless, again, great to have everyone back on the show today. In the Google Meet call, some of the guys are here. We have Mike Bilica and Grant Richards. They are the two that made it here this week. Eli Bashy, he has an exam that he's working on currently. While Jay Horn, we don't know where he is. I mean, we have an idea of what's going on with him. He was, let's say he was having a little too much fun yesterday to celebrate Memorial Day. He might be sleepy right now, but that's perfectly all right because we do have Mike and Grant here. Let's start with Mike Bilica. How are you today, Mike? How was your Memorial Day holiday? What did you do? And just how are you feeling about your Montreal Canadiens coming back from 3-1 and taking down the Toronto Maple Leafs last night in Game 7? How are you feeling about that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It was amazing. It was a pleasure to watch. And it's always a great thing to see the Toronto Maple Leafs blow a 3-1 lead.
You want to guess when was the last time the Maple Leafs advanced to the second round of the playoffs?
Yes, 2004.
There you go. It has been 17 years since the Maple Leafs advanced to the second round of the playoffs. Stay you, Maple Leafs. Stay you.
Is that poverty?
That is really, really, really bad. Grant, what's your thoughts on the Maple Leafs not advancing to the second round in 17 years?
To have it in the palm of your hands up 3-1 when you should be advancing, it's not like they upset the Canadiens and got there to 3-1. They were favored every game.
Heavily.
It's horrible. I'm in a sports team that hasn't won a playoff game in just as about as many years, so I know how that is. But the Maple Leafs make the playoffs regularly, so it's not like they only get one chance at this. They're usually there, and I had a good time laughing about it.
No, it was fun last night. It was a lot of fun last night when I saw the 3-1 final. Yes, our sports teams aren't great here, but That's still bad. Not advancing to the second round in 17 straight seasons and blowing a 3-1 lead when, as Grant mentioned, they were the heavy favorites to win the series. Stay you, Toronto. Stay you. And I know Mike was having a ball about that last night. He's still feeling good today as he has the Montreal Canadiens Google Meet background there. How are you feeling about this Jets series? You want to give us a play-by-play of what you're what you're expecting?
It might be ugly, I don't know.
We might have to save that for another day. Right. but Mike, how did you spend your Memorial Day weekend?
I spent my time with the family. It was fun, barbecuing. It was a good time.
What you barbecue? Because I know I sent you a TikTok where someone messed up some ribs.
Oh, boy. Barbecue some burgers, some corn. Had a good time.
If you're going to barbecue, whether it's for, like, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, or just in general, you better know what you're doing. I saw on TikTok over the weekend, and I sent it to Mike Grant. Someone wasted such a good thing of ribs. It looks so good. And at the end of the TikTok, those boys were burnt. Those boys were crisp. And I just went to Mike. I'm like, oh, no. Someone done messed up. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay. Thank you, Mike. On to Grant, our last guy who made it here today. How are you today? Also, how was your Memorial Day weekend? What did you do? And as always, say it with me, Mike. Mike, you can actually take it away this week. I'll let you say it.
How's the sports betting?
all right, we'll get right into it. Memorial Day weekend, Sunday, we celebrated my grandparents' 62nd anniversary.
Holy smokes.
Shout out to my grandpa for that. Keeping the family name strong.
Look at that.
Monday, I kind of didn't really do anything. There was a lot of sports on. The NCAA lacrosse national championships were going and electric, by the way. Virginia beat Maryland 17-16 in just a thriller of a game. And then we obviously had NBA, the Tigers, some NHL. So it was a full day of doing absolutely nothing. And sports betting, we finished up. Finished a little cold, but hit big early in the week. So we finished up and taken that into this week.
Yeah. You know, first of all, sports betting wise, bounce back complete. Bounce back complete, Grant. Let's go. There was a day this week where I hit both of my straight bets and then my ginormous parlay. I think it was an NBA playoffs parlay, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah.
Yeah, we both hit the same day.
There you go. Yeah. I think it was Thursday, but whatever day that was, we both hit big. And for me, that was just the exclamation point. I was a little cold throughout the rest of the weekend, but it's all right, though. It's a winning week, bounce back week. We're feeling good today sports betting-wise, even though we didn't win yesterday because the Sixers kind of let me down and Joel Embiid got hurt. But, hey, still coming off a winning week. You can never complain about that. And as for my Memorial Day weekend, Saturday was a fun day. Hung out with some of the old high school buddies, played some basketball, and went out for drinks on Saturday night. Sunday, kept it chill to kind of recuperate, if you will. And then last night, it obviously, as Grant said, it was a big sports day and big sports night as well. But I did spend the night out with some friends again as well. Successful weekend, if you ask me. Watch some sports. Watch the Tigers sweep the Yankees, which we'll talk about more in a second here. Watched the Maple Leafs blow a 3-1 lead. Watched them play off basketball. It feels so good. So yeah, it was a good weekend. I'm glad to hear that you two had a good weekend as well. We know Jay did too. That's why he's not here. But it's all right though. Jay, shout out to Jay. He'll be back next week. But yeah, boys, good to have you two on the show today. So on this week's program, we will talk about the NBA playoffs to close out the show. Lots to talk about there. A lot has happened since we have last gone together and spoke. But I do want to start today with some Tigers talk, okay? The month of May is over. We are now into June. And believe it or not, boys, the Tigers had as shocking as it is to say, they had a decent month of May. They finished above 500, 14-13 record, and they had some good player performances as well, specifically from the starting rotation. The first guy I'm going to mention here is Casey Mize, who was absolutely awesome in May. I tweeted over the weekend his May numbers, and I just want to go over those numbers again here on the pod. So Casey Mize in May, 5 starts, 2-0 record, 1.74 ERA, a whip of 0.87. He held opposing hitters to a 162 average, 17 hits, 6 runs, 2 homers, 10 walks, 27 strikeouts, and 31 innings pitched. Those are downright elite numbers. And he's a 24-year-old former number 1 overall pick. Okay? He's a rookie this year. He put up those numbers in the month of May. And it was so, so encouraging to see him do that. Because obviously last year with KC, he struggled a little bit. There's no denying that. And then the month of April, he struggled again too. And though I always preach patience with KC and also Tarek Skubal, who I'll also mention here in a second. But although I always preach patience with them, there were Tiger fans who were getting concerned. And then look at that. From Casey Mize in the month of May. AL Rookie of the Month, just straight up. He should be in the talks, I think. And if he keeps on going the way he is, AL Rookie of the Year, he might be in that conversation. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, Casey Mize was awesome in May. And just in general, so was the combined three-headed monster, if you will, of Mize, Tarek Skubal, who I just mentioned, and also Spencer Turnbull. The three of them combined in the month of May, I believe Bally Sports said on the broadcast yesterday against the Brewers, their combined ERA in May was 2.86, I believe it was. I know it was under 3, but I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was under 3. And all three of them, they were very good in May. We just talked about Mize. Obviously, Spencer Turnbull threw a freaking no-hitter a couple weeks ago. And he's just been really strong this year. While for Tarek Skubal, very similar to Mize, some up and down moments last year. He was better than Casey Mize, in my opinion, last year, but still nothing to go crazy about. And then in April, Tarek especially struggled. But over these last few starts, he has gotten better. And in his last three starts, Tarek has 26 combined strikeouts. Pretty good. That's pretty good. That shows you that he's starting to figure it out. And again, as I've already mentioned, the Tigers finished above 500 in May. They had some good performances from the starting rotation and from a couple guys that we believe are going to absolutely be future pieces to this team going forward. Mize and Skubal, we know for sure. Spencer Turnbull, we'll talk about this as the trade deadline gets closer. There's already some trade deadline rumors going up about him. I wouldn't do it, but it's June 1st at the time of recording this. We'll wait further down the line to actually have that conversation. Same thing with Matthew Boyd. But again, Mize, Skubal, Turnbull, all three of them looked great in May. Chris Fetter is an absolute genius. Our pitching coach, who came here from the University of Michigan, absolute genius. The work he has done this year with our entire pitching staff, not just our starting rotation, has been unreal. Absolutely unreal. I mean, starting with the starting rotation, I mentioned Mize, I mentioned Skubal, I mentioned Turnbull. But you also look at Matthew Boyd, who, though he's been struggling over his last two or three starts, I believe, still has an ERA of 3.43, which is still good, still not bad. And then Jose Urania, despite the ERA being over 4 right now, he has pitched a lot better from what we have seen from him in years previous this season with the Tigers. He is definitely looking a lot better than what I expected. That's a starting rotation. Bullpen-wise, though we have one of the worst bullpens with regards to team ERA, there are still guys in this bullpen that you can tell Chris Fetter is making a difference for them, whether that would be Michael Fulmer, whether that be Jose Cisnero, Kyle Funkhauser. And those three specifically are the three that you can tell that Chris Fetter has made an absolute difference for them. Michael Fulmer, he's got a new role as the closer of this team, and he's looking 2016 AL Rookie of the Year-esque right now. He is looking like his old self in that bullpen role, and that's the Chris Fetter effect. Kyle Funkhauser has been amazing for this team this year, throwing absolute gas and looking electric on the mound. And then Jose Cisnero, he was good last year, but now this year, especially as of late, he has been playing pretty good baseball too out of the bullpen. Chris Fetter, you gotta give him so much credit, and you gotta give credit to AJ Hinch for hiring him too. For a team that's rebuilding this thing around pitching and mainly starting pitching, you need to get pitching coach right. And 2 months in, I think we can absolutely say that we got the pitching coach right. Chris Fetter is an absolute machine, and I'm so, so glad to not only see the young guys taking steps under Chris Fetter, but just seeing veterans too, you know, Boyd, Turnbull, Fulmer, Cisnero, the fact that all of these guys are taking steps under Fetter, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. So, yeah, Chris Fetter's a genius. I absolutely loved what we saw from mainly the starting rotation in May. And my final Tigers mention here before we move on, yeah, we broke the Yankees over the weekend. We did break the Yankees. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. It's always fun when you can beat the Yankees, but when you can sweep them and make them feel bad about themselves, that was great. They're still salty. Someone was in my TikTok mentions the other day, and they said, oh, you got lucky. Mm-hmm. Say that to my broom for me. And they lost to the Rays yesterday, too, so they're just... we broke them. That's the moral of the story here. But yeah, to close off my part of the Tigers talk, it was a lot of fun in May. Honestly, it was. I can never complain about finishing above 500, especially for this Tigers team. And yeah, like I said, it was fun to watch in May. To have a starting rotation that, each night you go into the game saying, okay, we have a chance to win because this guy is on the mound or because this guy is on the mound, it's refreshing. It is very refreshing. It's so much better from the days where we went, okay, Dale Norris is on the mound or Drew Verhagen's pitching, you know? It just feels so good waking up each day, looking at who's starting for the Tigers and going, we got a shot because Casey's pitching or because Tarik is pitching or Spencer or Matthew or Jose. Even yesterday, we had a bullpen day because Jose Reyes is on the injured list and the bullpen day still delivered. Feels good. We're still 10 games under 500 at the time of recording this. Now, I'm not at all coming in front of this microphone on the pod and saying, here we come playoffs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's been a lot more fun, and hopefully that can continue throughout the summer. In a full capacity Comerica Park. Yes, Mike, yes. So let's move on to the other gentlemen, get their thoughts on Tigers talk. We'll start with Grant. What did you see from this team in May that kind of made you a little bit optimistic going forward?
Well, you mentioned a lot of the players, and I remember watching one of the games right before May when the Tigers were kind of at their bottom of the season so far. AJ Hinch came out and said that they weren't really situationally hitting. They were all just kind of trying to hit dingers. And he at least had the wherewithal to kind of adjust that mindset of, hey, look, just because we're not playing well right now doesn't mean we stop trying to play our game, doesn't mean we just start trying to hit home runs. And I think you can see the adjustment now where guys are settling for clutch singles as opposed to two runners on just trying to crush the ball and ending up flying out or striking out. I think there's just a lot more thought going into these at-bats. And when you're a team under 500, and they call it the dog days of summer for a reason, it is a dragging on season when you're just losing game after game. It's hard not to want to pad your stats or just try and hit home runs to get your team back in the game. But as we've noticed, Comerica is not a hitter's park, and the Tigers are not exactly a hitter's team, if you will. They're not going to drop a ton of home runs on you on a regular basis. So just getting back to basics has clearly helped the Tigers as they finished over 500 this year or month. And I just wanted to bring that to attention because I heard it and thought about it and kind of just watched these guys come to fruition and start playing better baseball.
Absolutely. Mike, anything you want to add specifically about the full capacity at Comerica Park?
I'll be there.
Oh, boy.
One thing. But yeah, I mean, they started the season pretty rough, and it's, I'm glad to see that they finally are starting to make things work. Good to see.
They had a 21-game stretch in the earlier parts of the season where they were 3-18. That was not good at all. That was where I kind of sat back and thought, oh boy, this might be a really, really rough summer. But like I've already talked about, the fact that they finished above 500 in May, the fact that we're seeing Casey Mize and Tarik Skubal take steps, and the fact that we're just seeing this overall winning culture starting to be placed under AJ Hinch, that's so huge. that is so huge. Because if we had another month of just brutal baseball, though we joke about the full capacity, who the hell would have wanted to go, honestly? But now that the Tigers are kind of showing something, I mean, Mike, aren't you going to kind of go, hey, full capacity and Tigers aren't playing that terrible anymore?
Get some tickets. Why not?
There you go. Mike's down. when the Tigers announced that they were going to go back to full capacity, he was the first one to text our group chat. He was like, when we going? When we going?
That's what I'm here for.
I can't wait, though. The Trash Talk Tigers game? Gonna be fun. Gonna be a lot of fun.
Real wave starting.
Oh, boy. Well, me and Tyler could get the wave going by ourselves. I can't imagine what the five or six of us will be able to be capable of.
A lot. We'll just say.
A lot. A
good amount.
Yeah. A couple let's get sexy chants.
Oh, please.
Oh, boy. But yeah, to wrap up the Tigers talk here, it was a fun month of May. We're starting to see the young guys take progress. We're starting to see other players take progress as well, mainly pitching-wise and offensively too. I mean, I didn't even mention the offense. Robbie Grossman has been a lot better in the month of May. Akil Baddoo, he was hot to start the year, got really, really, really cold, and now he's up again. He's starting to figure it out. You know, yesterday on Memorial Day, he hit his first homer since April 13th, and Akil Baddoo is starting to look like the player that we saw back to start the season, that player who, for a Rule 5 guy, who I don't think he ever played in AA or AAA, he's just got such a good approach and eye at the plate. It's unbelievable, honestly, to see that. But, yeah, Robbie, Akil Baddoo, Miggy, even though he's having a really down year, even he had some nice moments in May. Hitting Harold, Candy has an on-base streak of 27 games at the time of recording this. It was a positive month of May. And hopefully that continues into June, that's for sure. So that's going to wrap up the Tigers talk. Let's close out today's program by moving into the NBA playoffs, shall we? Now, there is a lot to talk about with these NBA playoffs. A lot and a lot to talk about. Let's start with the Lakers and Suns, because that's obviously the biggest first-round series right now. Yeah, I'm not afraid to say it. I am coming in front of this microphone on the podcast and officially noting that I am concerned about the Lakers. There it is. There it is. Mike is going crazy. He's clapping. Grant is smiling. If Jay was here, he'd probably fall over. If Eli was here, he'd thrust the finger at me and say, "I told you so." But yeah, I'm officially concerned about the Lakers. I'm not concerned about GoBron. He is not my concern at all. I have the most faith in him that he'll be able to put the cape on and give the Lakers a shot. But my biggest concern is AD and who's going to step up other than LeBron if AD can't go. Which Shams tweeted yesterday on Memorial Day that I think he said it's unlikely that AD plays in Game 5. So AD's already going to miss up a humongous Game 5 to see who goes up 3-2. And one of my big concerns for the Lakers is who's going to step up not named LeBron with AD out. I would hope maybe it's Dennis Schroeder, because that would give you some good guard play, especially with Cameron Payne playing the way that he is, especially with Chris Paul now starting to look a little bit healthier, which that's crazy, by the way. Did you guys see that Monty Williams was going to keep CP3 out of Game 4, and then Chris said, no. I'm playing. If I look bad, take me out, but I'm playing. And look at that. He looked like Chris Paul with a bad shoulder and all. Unreal. But yeah, if someone can step up for the Lakers, I would like that for that to be Dennis Schroeder. And he has been good this series. He has had some really nice moments in the series against Phoenix. But someone needs to step up not named LeBron. And that's my big concern right now, because we know how big of a difference maker AD is. We saw in Game 1 when he was terrible, Lakers lost. In Games 2 and 3 when AD was going nuts, dropping 30 points in 3 quarters and looking like the old Anthony Davis. We saw how much of an impact that made and how much of an impact he brought to the game. Now he's hurt again. He's hurt again. He's got a knee issue. He's got a groin issue. Oh, it's just been one of those years for Anthony Davis after the bubble run last year. And obviously, you can't get mad at injuries. They just happen. But that was not the time you need that to happen. Not the time at all that you need that to happen. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned about the Lakers. I'm not concerned about GoBron. I'm just a little worried about who's going to step up if AD can't go. And I don't think AD is going to be ruled out for the series. He is day-to-day. I'm sure he'll be back for probably Game 6 and 7, especially Game 7 if it goes that far. But if he can't go Game 5 in Phoenix, Oh boy. Let me check the line right now before I let Grant and Mike speak as well. The line right now is Phoenix minus 5. So, yeah, there you go. That's a massive number. That's a massive, massive number. I'm officially concerned about the Lakers if AD can't be 100%. Mike, Grant, what's your thoughts on that? Grant is saying go, Mike. That's all you.
It's so good to see.
Oh, no, it's not.
I don't wish injuries on anyone, but, man, I'm just so happy that the Suns have this opportunity to move on. And you asked who could step up. Andre Drummond. That's who you asked.
You know, Andre, I think it was game 2 that he looked really good. No, excuse me. It was game 3 that he looked really good. But that's not my first pick of who's going to step up. You notice my first pick was Dennis Schroeder, who, again, he has been good this series, but I'm hoping it's specifically Dennis because, as I said, you got to go up against CP3 now that he's looking better. Cameron Payne, out of absolutely nowhere, is going nuts. You know, you got to have someone compete with him, but it is not good to see. I disagree with you there. It is not. You do not want to see injuries. I was not happy to see CP3 go out, and I am especially not happy to see AD get hurt, too. When he went down, oh, I just knew. I just knew. I'm like, this series ain't over. Because let's be real here. The series was over after Game 3. We thought it was over.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And we all thought the series was over. I think Suns fans even thought the series was over. CP3's not healthy. The Lakers are now cooking. They're at home for game 4. Yeah, everyone thought the series was over. But now it's completely wide open again. And I just feel like the momentum swing right now is heavily favoring Phoenix. And I don't know. I'm not doubting LeBron. I want to make that abundantly clear. I'm not doubting LeBron. I'm doubting everybody else. If AD can't go, someone has to step up and fill those shoes. I just don't know who's going to fill them. I don't.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's looking rough out there. But I still wouldn't doubt that team. Like,
no.
You just never know. You can't. You can never doubt a team that has LeBron on it.
No, you can't. You know, we've seen in the past before, LeBron's taken some really bad teams pretty far.
Really bad. 2007,
2008. I was literally just about to say 2007. Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. And his teams have had injuries too, you know? But
yeah.
And he's faced better teams as well. The Dynasty Warriors come to mind. The Super Dynasty Spurs.
Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, he's faced better teams in the past, but this Suns team, they're young and hungry. And Ayton's played well. Booker's had some moments where he's looked great, and I thought he's looked, I don't want to say bad, but I'm like, okay, Devin, I think you could play a little bit better, you know, but.
First time in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, they're young and hungry, and without Anthony Davis, I don't know. Grant, what do you have to add to this conversation?
I mean, are we witnessing the end of an era?
No.
As we've seen, wait, hear me out. With LeBron's legacy of making, I don't even know how many consecutive finals it is, but the fact that we're doing this in what, LeBron's 18th year, mm-hmm. it's a little telling because he has taken worse teams and beaten better teams to get where he needs to be. And him struggling to do this now kind of just shows that we're not really in prime Bron status anymore. We're starting to, all good things must end, and whether it's this year or the coming years, at some point LeBron James is not going to make an NBA Finals, and it's a little scary. Even as someone who, I don't know the right word, maybe doesn't respect LeBron as much as some others do, it still is kind of sad. Almost, it's like he's done it with, who is that? Oh, I don't even remember the name. It's like Ilgauskas or something way back in the year was as second best player.
Jonas Ilgauskas?
Exactly. took him to the finals and can't take a ragtag bunch of Lakers who should be able to get there. I don't know. It's a little scary, and seeing the Suns -5 in Vegas betting is also scary to me as someone who's hoping for like a Suns -1, -2 type thing today. It's a little concerning that a lot of people are starting to write the Lakers off, but I've written the Lakers off a lot of times and they've still come back and shocked me. So who really knows where I go betting wise or how the series goes. LeBron James has that takeover ability, and I think it's going to be in full effect tonight. But like we've mentioned, Drummond or the Shrew, as he's been called.
The Shrewder?
Step up.
Yeah.
And now to get a little less serious, if only they had re-signed Deion Waiters. They kind of need a streaky shooter right now. Sorry, I just wanted to bring that up, but he's probably not the answer to this.
Hey,
but no, someone's got to do something.
Hey, you know what?
It's going to be Suns and Six.
You know what, though? Dennis, Deion Waiters, what is he, Grant?
Champion.
Ooh, he's
don't forget.
Yeah, don't ever forget that Deion Waiters is an NBA champion. Yes, Mike, he's got a ring. Yes, sir, he's got a ring. But there are 2 points I want to bring up from what Grant just said. First of all, LeBron didn't make the finals 2 years ago, if you remember that. That's the year that was before AD, and he got hurt that year. That was a down year. That was a down year, the first one in Los Angeles. And also, if the Lakers lose this first round series, unless LeBron just completely collapses in these final two or three games, my argument is not going to be, oh boy, this is the end for LeBron. That's not going to be my argument because, again, my concern isn't with LeBron. He's going to put that cape on and give it everything he's got, even on a bum ankle. My concern, as I've already said, and I'm going to continue to stress this because I don't want people to get it mixed up. All Tony LeBron Slappy's concerned about his boy. It's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not concerned about Bron. I'm concerned about the others. Okay? Schroeder's got to step up. Andre, yeah, you'll need to step up as a big man now if AD can't go. Caruso's got to start making some shots. Wesley Matthews, Markieff. I can keep going here. Kuzma's probably going to get inserted into the starting lineup. He'll need to start playing better, too. Everyone's got to step up around LeBron. And against this young, hungry Suns team, I don't know. But Game 5 is tonight. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what ends up happening, though. But I'm only a little bit concerned about the Lakers, though. Just a little bit. I'm definitely concerned about the Dallas Mavericks, though, to move into our next NBA playoffs topic. I'm super concerned about the Mavericks. They were up 2-0. We were all feeling good about a potential sweep of the Clippers. But then the Clippers came roaring back. They tied it up at 2. They got 2 straight wins in Dallas. And Luka's hurt. He's got a neck issue, I believe. Yeah, Mike, I'm going to look at you for this one. I'm super concerned about the Mavs and my sweet, beautiful Luka.
Yeah, you should be, because I think that series is over.
Yeah.
Watching these past two games were off for the Mavericks. I mean, if Luka's injured, they've got nothing. Their whole offense is Luka. They just dribble it down the court, they get scared, and they just hand it off to Luka. It's Luka, Luka, Luka. No one else is being utilized, and you just can't win like that. You can't. And especially with his injury, it's a neck injury, and he says he has, I think, a tingling down his arm.
Oh.
So, you know, that's not good at all. And it's all right. See, but don't get too sad, because the Clippers will get knocked out next round. Don't worry.
I mean, who would they play in the next round?
I think Utah.
That is the most unappealing second round matchup I have ever seen.
Don't doubt Utah, though. I think they can do it.
I mean, I hate Utah, but I'll be pulling for them.
Yeah. They've looked good with Donovan.
Yeah, with Donovan back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Grizzlies are giving them a fight, too, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not some little old 8 seed that you could just put away really quickly. No, the Grizzlies are fighting that series for sure. But, no, as for the Mavs and Clippers, I'm kind of with you, Mike. I'm leaning towards that series probably being over, because if Luka's hurt, they can't go to Porzingis. He's not the same player he once was with those injuries. Do you think Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be able to carry by himself mostly?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. has been really good, but come on. Are we actually expecting him to carry by himself, essentially? No. And Boban's not going to carry, even though he could.
Shout out to Boban. The crowd was
Nuts. That crowd was nuts for Boban.
I'm like, why is the crowd is getting so loud randomly? I'm like, oh my god, Boban.
And he was playing some good minutes too early on. He was playing good minutes. But yeah, yeah, I'm absolutely concerned about the Mavericks. I'm kind of leaning towards that series being over. Kawhi is just, as I roll my eyes, Kawhi is doing his thing. Playoff P is actually playing better. Yeah, I kind of think that series is over. But it's 2-2, going back to Los Angeles in front of the four Clipper fans. So,
and 400 cutouts.
And a lot of cutouts, yes. So we'll see how that series ends up going. Next series that I want to talk about, Hawks and Knicks. Atlanta's up 3-1 right now. I believe Game 5 is tonight. Let's check. Tomorrow night, excuse me, Wednesday night. Yes, in New York. It's going back to MSG. That has been rocking in these NBA playoffs. But it is an elimination game for the Knicks. They're down 3-1 right now because Trae Young is going nuts. Trae Young is starting to look like a superstar. And that makes me so happy because you guys know that I've always been high on Trae. If Jay was here, he would even back me up. I was a big Trae guy going back to his days at Oklahoma as a Sooner, and he's going nuts. I love it. You know, I think I mentioned last week that the Hawks are kind of the team that I'm riding with in the Eastern Conference. So even though they're not going to get there, I mean, this is Brooklyn's conference. So we all know this, especially with Joel Embiid's injury, because he got hurt last night against the Wizards. I thought it was going to be a hip issue, because he fell awkwardly on like his butt. He was holding his hip, but they said it was a knee injury, so I don't know. But especially if Joel Embiid's hurt, there's no way Philadelphia comes close to Brooklyn. But
Milwaukee's the only hope at that point. They play really well in the first round.
No, you got to give the Bucks credit. They swept Miami, and that was a big series for them. They were embarrassed in the bubble last year by the Heat, and they kind of exposed Miami. I'm not going to lie to you. They kind of exposed them. Jimmy didn't have his best series, and just in general, the Bucks, they mopped the floor, really, with Miami. So you do got to give the Bucks credit, but they're not beating Brooklyn. I don't think anyone's beating Brooklyn. You never know, but honestly, Mike,
I'm just trying to have some hope.
I know.
Really don't want to see Brooklyn in the finals.
I don't either, but
can't stand them.
Do you think anyone's going to beat them in the East?
Probably not, but
Grant?
No.
No.
I don't have much more to say than that. I think that's kind of they're obviously a wagon.
That's all you need to say. But going back to Trae Young and the Hawks, I mean, again, the Hawks were the team I mentioned last week. They were the team that I'm kind of riding with in the East, even though they have no shot to win the East because it's Brooklyn's conference. But Trae Young is looking like a star right now that we all knew that he could be, and that warms my heart. I love Trae Young, and it's awesome seeing him ball out. So, yeah, go Hawks. That's my team that I'm riding with in the East. That's my team. But to also talk about the Knicks really quickly, one of the biggest reasons why they're down 3-1 right now for me is that Julius Randle is looking a little, as Eli would say, suspect. Julius Randle's looking a little suspect. Listen, he had a great regular season. He deserved to win Most Improved Player, though Jeremy's obviously our guy. But no, Julius Randle was the most improved player in the NBA. But that was the regular season. The playoffs, he is looking rough. And that's, I think, the biggest reason why they're down 3-1. They can't guard Trae. And Julius Randle's not exactly playing up to that star potential that we think he might be able to have. But anything you two want to add about that Knicks-Hawks series?
I wouldn't even say they're, like, as sus as they are as probably just tired. I mean, Tom Thibodeau has kind of been running them into the ground in the regular season to get to where they are right now. And I think there's been a lot of chatter about this and about how they would probably collapse in the first round after just a grueling season that really didn't need to be that grueling, especially towards the end. I mean, they were in it for sure. The Knicks were going to make the playoffs, and they just continued running their players into the ground trying to get a better seed. So I think it's just tiredness. It's just kind of catching up to them.
Well, speaking of running your players into the ground, we made this joke last week after seeing D. Rose get close to 40 minutes in game one, but D. Rose is still getting major playoff minutes, which we love D. Rose, and he's balling out right now. Has not gotten hurt yet, so that's a good sign, and hopefully he doesn't get hurt by playing all these minutes in the playoffs, but oh boy, yeah, D. Rose is getting he's going to need a lot of ice after these playoffs. Right, Mike?
Tell you what, man. It's rough. Man. He's definitely not feeling good after each game.
You know what? He's balling out, though. Can't say the same about Julius Randle. I just pulled out his game log. You want me to read these numbers for you?
Do I?
Yeah, I will. Game one, he was 6-23 from the field. Game two, 5-16 from the field. Game 3, this is the best one, 35 minutes, 2-15 from the field.
Man.
And then Game 4, 36 minutes, 7-19 from the field. While from downtown, Game 1, 2-6, Games 2 and 3, 2-7, and then Game 4, he was 2-4, 50%, that's good. But Julius, you got to step up. You got to be better than that, man. You just won Most Improved Player. You're in New York. The Knicks fans, they've been waiting for this. They're ready to go, obviously. You can tell that by the way MSG has been rocking, and they will be rocking again tomorrow night. But, Julius, you got to step up. You got to have at least one good game. If he has, let's say the series ends in 5. Hawks win 4-1. They go to MSG and win tomorrow night. And Julius Randle has another bad game. If he has 5 straight bad games, ooh. If he has one good game, I think that kind of takes away some of the question marks around his playoff performance this year. But if he has 5 straight,
I think they'll get game 5, though.
Knicks?
In New York, yeah. Solely based off of the crowd.
Hey, Jay just texted me. I asked him an hour ago, are you up? And he just responded with 3 skull emojis. Well, it's a little too late now, Jay, but it's all right. He had some fun last night, as we all did. But Mike's taking the Knicks tomorrow night. Okay, go Hawks.
The crowd, man. You just can't lose to that crowd.
Go Hawks, baby. They did already in game one. They lost me money that night.
I know, but it's an elimination game. I think they'll barely scrap it out. I think they're going to get it. And then it's over, game 6. They cannot win in Atlanta.
The Hawks better not blow a 3-1 lead. Oh, no,
they won't.
They can't. I won't. My beautiful Trey, I won't be able to live that one down.
It is the city of Atlanta, though, so you just never know about that. That could happen.
He said it, not me. We're done after that.
I got nothing against Atlanta. I'm just stating the fact.
No, you're not wrong.
You guys.
Let's be nice. Let's be nice. First. You didn't have to go there. You're not wrong, but you didn't have to say it. But I will say this to wrap up the show today, though, with regards to the NBA playoffs. They've been fun as hell so far, haven't they? I mean, the NBA playoffs have kind of been, I think it's fair to say that they've always been the playoffs that people have crapped on the most. Because it's mostly blowouts all the time. And that is fair, because that is true. We mostly see blowouts. But these first-round playoff games so far, they've been excellent, have they not?
I've enjoyed it. It's been great.
Grant, is there something you want to say?
I've been having a great time. I just think it's I want to say funny, but it's something that we lock fans up for a year and people forget how to act. Like, oh, there's one thing, there's passion and being passionate about your team, but I've seen and heard some things that, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah.
What is this? This is not what I remembered fans in the stands as. I have never once been tempted to throw things at people or spit at people. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. You want to go back to the arena, you know?
Yeah.
You plan on going to games in the future.
Yeah. I always have fun at games, you know? I always have a good time at games. I'll never spit on people or throw water bottles, you know? There's nothing wrong with going and having a good time at the game. Don't do what we have seen over the past few games, okay? Don't be throwing water bottles at Kyrie Irving. I don't care if he stepped on the logo or not. Don't be throwing water bottles at him and nearly hitting him. Don't be spitting on people. Don't be running onto the court.
Oh, God.
You know? Like, come on. Maybe it is because people have been cooped up for so long, Grant, but yeah, let's settle down a little bit, okay? Let's settle
and
down.
And everyone is allowed in so, like, drastically. Ever since the playoffs started, these teams just said, boom, full capacity, pretty much. You know?
It
was so drastic.
And Mike just said, don't you want to go back?
Yeah, they're like, don't you want to go back to the Garden? Don't you want to go back to MSG? Like, you know.
Whatever.
It's always my thought. Hey, I want to come back here when we're
Yeah,
there.
Well, we have brains in our skulls. Obviously, people spitting on players and throw water bottles don't, but that's neither here or there. But
yeah.
If you want to go to the games, have fun, but don't be stupid. How about that? There we go. I think that's a decent way to end today's program. We only had a 3-man crew today, but you know what? I think it was a success. Grant, as always, thanks for taking your lunch break off of work and coming here. Mike, go Habs.
Go Habs.
Ole, 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 ole. Oh, there we go. There we go. Shout out to Jay. Hope you're alive. Shout out to Eli. Hope the exam went well. Shout out to Tyler at the liquor store, which, by the way, me and Tyler, we've got something good coming soon. That's all I'm going to tease. But until then, goodbye, everybody. For Grant Richards, Mike Bilica, and the rest of the crew, my name is Tony Nabrowski. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all soon.